Matt Flynn Direct airs weekdays from 6 to 8 a.m. Cut you down.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
Not something.
Yep.
Did you ever meet him?
Yes, I have.
Welcome back to 540 AM, 101 FM, WAUK, The Shaw. You're listening to Joel Clayfish, that's me, on Raised in the Shaw. And I'm fairly certain that this radio broadcast is going to become a podcast and become worldwide. Evan, shout out to you in the studio. Kennedy's listening in Waukesha. Thanks for listening, as always. We've got Claiborne Benson with us, the executive director of the Wisconsin Black Historical Society. We went into break. Claiborne's first major career of his life was in the news broadcast industry. Well, newspaper
well,
first.
I will say to you, my first real career was shining shoes in my daddy's barbershop. That was my first. When everybody would come in and say to me, "What are you going to do with your life, young man?" Much expectation was put on my head.
And I'd say you delivered.
Well, I don't know, but they clearly the shining shoes and having conversations with all of these icons coming into my dad's barbershop placed great expectations on my heart that I needed to do something positive.
I bet you heard some great stories. Is that where you learned to storytell?
Listening to my father echo stories about African Americans and civil rights struggles and Africa echo across the walls. I still feel the rhythm of him talking about history as he's talking to everybody in the barbershop. Everybody in the barbershop.
And that never left you, I'm sure.
Oh, no, no, no.
Does that play a large role in how you tell stories
today?
It
does. It does. Because I tell stories to people all day long in the museum and in public occasions. Yes, it does.
And I find your stories, I could listen to your stories all day long. They're fascinating. And when we went into break, I was going to ask you about the time that you entered television news.
Yes.
Because that was a time of great social unrest and great civil injustice.
1967, 1968, that's the first year in which I started at WTM, August 12th, 1968. Young man.
How tough was that?
First of all, I had to learn how to shoot pictures and to tell a story with a camera equipment that I didn't know anything about. They allowed me, through affirmative action, to get this job working again for $2 an hour for 13 hours a week, going to school full time. But it was even more tougher when I had opinion about the civil rights struggle and who we should interview and not interview and what materials they should use on the air. I got into conflicts with people like John McCullough. John McCullough's a big shot. Are you kidding
you what,
me?
John McCullough and Melody Wilson.
That's right. They are on top of the
world. I grew
up
watching them and Jerry Taft and Marty Burns Wolf.
And we are fighting, not physically, but arguing in the middle of the newsroom. This young 18, 19-year-old man with an icon like John McCullough over what story should be told.
I don't think people realize how Milwaukee was, in essence, an epicenter of the nation in the civil rights movement.
Very much so. I mean, on two subjects. One, the desegregation of school systems, which was a form of segregation. We saw, and I want to make sure I tell the other story in terms of Father Grappi, but in the desegregation of school systems, we found that in Brown versus the Board of Education, the school system would find themselves with one teacher, one classroom, and good books for all students. Well, that's what we expected. But 4 years later, 1957, they find that they are still segregating against. And black kids are not getting equal education. White kids they're being bused to white schools. White kids come in at 8 o'clock. They go to their lockers and go to the classes of their choice. Black kids come in at 9 o'clock, go to their lockers, and are directed to trailer parks on the back of the playgrounds. Still segregated at the Brown versus Board of Education. It is Lloyd Bobby and Milwaukee's efforts to bring that attention to the United States Supreme Court. And it's the Supreme Court makes the decision to choose Lloyd Bobby to end that segregation policy. Unfortunately, still too few kids are graduating. Still too kids are getting a real education because there are other ways in which people are being denied education. That's a national story. The Supreme Court chose Lloyd Bobby to lead that effort, and he did win. But we lost ultimately because still too few kids are getting it. And then the Father James Grappi issue. All of this is happening at the same time, 1967, 1968. This is a Walter Mondale bill in Congress. He sees segregation as a method to limit the growth of African Americans, bringing them from the South and putting them into clusters. Oh, well, I honestly have to say to you, there are all kinds of clusters, German clusters and Irish clusters, but the difference with African Americans were impoverishment, poverty and poor difficulties. And so Father James Grappi takes his banner up after Martin Luther King actually fails in Chicago. Father mm-hmm. James Grappi picks the banner up.
From Milwaukee.
And he marches 200 days and nights. And he goes to, he comes to Waukesha, New Berlin. He comes to Wauwatosa. He goes everywhere and he does not stop day and night. Lyndon Johnson invites him to testify before Congress. Go to Washington, D.C. And there's still echoes of the how eloquently he delivered the message of segregation. Is it still segregated? Yes. It's just gotten a little wider and a little bigger, yet the poverty still does exist. And so, but Milwaukee carried that water for this entire nation, both on education and segregation. Now, the education is the really key thing because after Plessy versus Ferguson, just after the nation decided that they're going to create a level of segregation, they chose education as to raise and to educate black kids so that they could rise above it and fight segregation policies. Well, it's still segregated, and although we won the laws and the bills, but
you know, something,
it's a struggle.
Very frustrating to me. Something very frustrating to me is when people look at me and they'll say, oh, you know what? Racism doesn't exist anymore. That's a thing of the past. It does. Still exists.
It does.
You know, I served on a task force, on a racial justice task force. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to tell you, there are different sentencing mm-hmm. for people in certain socioeconomic situations.
Sure.
That still exists today, and there's no question about it.
Yeah.
We're going into this break, but what I'm going to tee up for the next segment, because I think it is so important. I think many people don't understand the magnitude of Wisconsin as a front runner and as the impetus for social justice and social equality in the country. Mm-hmm. We talked about the late 60s, early 70s,
yes.
But it started long before that, during and before the Civil War.
Yes.
And that's the historical part we're going to talk with you about that you're an expert in.
Sure.
And we're going to talk about the role of the Underground Railroad in Wisconsin, where it started. We'll be right back.
Thank you.